So nothing happens in Washington, D.C. by coincidence, nothing. So when Politico last night ran a story called Dems in Full-Blown Freakout Over Biden, this is not a coincidence. The timing should raise all of our eyebrows. I've got some bushy eyebrows and I raised them up. Why? Why would the timing of this article come out? Well, a few months ago, we started hearing from Democrats off the record. Of course, they don't want to go on the record and admit this, saying that the party would replace Joe Biden on the ticket in June or prior to the Democratic National Convention. They are not going to let this guy run against RFK Jr., against Donald Trump. They're not going to. He's losing. He's losing badly right now. And NBC News also saying the very same thing, asking the very same thing. Could Democrats replace Biden as their nominee? And they are saying it's nearly impossible, nearly impossible. But you're telling me there's a chance. So exactly how are they planning to do this? The timing of this piece is very telling. We'll get into that part of it in a minute. But of course, so my old colleague at Fox News, Peter Ducey, wasn't being flippant. He was literally asking what all of these Democrats are saying to Politico in this bombshell piece about Dems are in full-blown freakout over President Biden, and they don't know what to do, and they're trying to replace him on the ticket. So Ducey asked Corinne Jean-Pierre that very question. Again, he wasn't being flippant. He was just reading a headline. Watch.
Are you guys here at the White House in full-blown freakout mode?
What are you talking about?
There's a Politico story. It sounds like Democrats outside, the quote is, Biden's stubbornly poor polling, and the stakes of the election are creating the freakout.
So, again, I'm going to be mindful. I'm not going to comment on 2024 election. I will say this. The president has never forgotten where he came from, who he is. He understands what the American people are going through as they're sitting around the kitchen table. You hear the president talk about his time growing up, where he watched his family having to sit around the kitchen table, making incredibly difficult decisions. And the president has always said he's going to fight for communities that have been forgotten. And you see that in the policies, economic policies that he's put forward. He's going to continue to fight for the middle class. He's going to continue to fight in every way that he can. You heard me at the beginning talk about junk fees, incredibly important. And he's going to continue to fight and to make sure, that corporation greed doesn't continue to take hold. That is something that he's been very clear about. While Republicans are doing the opposite, they put out a policy where they want to give a big tax break to the wealthiest among us, billionaires and corporations. That's not what the president wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you. Thank you, Corinne Jean-Pierre,
That's
for that answer.
That's the victory lap. So...
What did she just say?
Can we just go over? Like, he stands for working people, and you know that, and you feel it. You feel it in your heart.
And he's been clear about that. And
what the heck else?
I don't know. He's been very clear about a lot of things.
Because she said, you know, that for the poor and he's there to defend the defenseless, essentially. But my daughter's going to be 18 by the time the next election comes around, and she's a Portland teenager, right, from Portland, Oregon, and she won't be voting for Biden. She said as much, and it's because of Israel. It's because of Palestine. And so as much as they want to ignore that, they can't. She's not alone in that. Her generation, that's why they wanted to get rid of TikTok.
Yeah.
They have lost that upcoming batch of voters that they're counting on. They've lost them just because on that one issue almost alone, the support of genocide.
And across all demographic, all races, by the way. So all you need to look at President Trump and the amazing polling that's now coming out from New York, New Jersey, and other areas, but also to Philip's point, look at where President Trump was in the Bronx, right? This big speech. He had thousands of people of all races waiting in line to see him. They couldn't even get into the speech.
Right.
They were just lined up all the way through the park. They couldn't get in to see him.
Yeah.
And I saw reporters interviewing young black voters saying, you know, I'm here to hear what he has to say, but there's no guys wearing FJB shirts, F Joe Biden shirts.
You know,
people of color saying, I am done with this. Yeah. I'm done with the Democratic Party.
There's a great piece in Candace Owens' book, Blackout, where she says that she went to, and she was listening to Donald Trump speak, and he said to a group of black voters, what else do you have to lose? Your schools suck? Your neighborhoods suck. Your community centers suck. How could it get any worse? What else do you have to lose? It didn't sell the black voters in the 2016, in the 2020 election, but that message seems to be resonating now because they realize that under the Biden administration, they had a lot to lose. They have schools that have been shut down and turned into immigrant centers. Mm-hmm. They have their taxes, or I'm sorry, their cost of living skyrocketed. So now that message resonates when you learn the hard way. So that's really interesting.
So I just want to kind of go through this Politico piece a little bit here, because there are some really telling comments from Democratic operatives who some are speaking anonymously to Politico. Some are on, you know, speaking a little bit more freely, knowing that they don't have to put their names in this article. You don't want to be that guy who's on the record saying we're doomed, or the campaign's bad, or Biden's making mistakes. Nobody wants to be that guy, one Democratic operative in close touch with the White House said, granted anonymity to speak freely.
But then what is their job?
Who?
Like, you don't want to be the guy who tells your boss the truth. So no. Then what are they there for?
I mean, they're there because they're yes men. They're there. That's what they do, right? But Biden's stubbornly poor polling and the stakes of the election are creating the freakout, this Democratic operative said. This isn't, oh my God, Mitt Romney might become president. It's, oh my God, the democracy might end. Really? Okay. So wait a minute. Just to be clear. So President Trump or RFK Jr. becoming president of the United States, democracy would end? First of all, we're a republic, but also, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's happening to the United States of America right now. It is crumbling before our eyes. Just look at the U.S. dollar. Like, just look at the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency of the world, as one piece of this being crushed right now. And one of the major drivers of that is your sanctions against Russia and all of these countries turning away from the United States. This is Biden's policy. That's a direct, you could draw a direct line between the Biden administration and the decline of the U.S. dollar.
Well, Rachel Maddow is the one who leads the talking points about this, and we've talked about it many times, is that because Trump contested the election and January 6th happened, then that's the direct connection that she makes to the fact that he wanted to subvert democracy. Never mind the fact that the Democrats sold us this lie about Russiagate for so long and told us that we had an illegitimate election in 2016. But she says because there is any question of the 2020 election, they don't believe in democracy and will work to pull the rug out from under it. So it's a very hypocrite. I'm just telling you the talking points so that you can be ready when someone stupid says something stupid like that.
So well, be prepared. Watch Rachel Maddow to be stupid and then be prepared to speak to stupid people. That's basically what we're saying.
That's why you watch Redacted.
Right.
For a lot of people.
Not to be stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I want to point out too that I think that this is the reason that they're really trying to keep Trump from being able to run is because they know at this point he has the support, that there's no way that they could convince people in this next election in 2024 the same way they did in 2020 that, you know, Biden got 81 million votes and Trump got 76
yes.
million.
Yeah.
There'd
yeah.
be no way yeah. that they can prove that. And even Democrats at that point would be like,
It'd be impossible.
So.
It would be absolutely yeah. impossible. To Philip's point earlier about all of the young people that have completely turned against the Biden administration, there's no enthusiasm whatsoever at all. Unless they're like, I feel like the people that show up at a Biden rally are, you know, a lot of them are just staged and placed
paid.
There, paid or, you know, staged, placed there. We know that. In fact, that's been confirmed. That's not a dream. Democratic operatives in those areas will bus people there and they'll pay for your transportation to get there to come out. Who's so enthusiastic going to see a Biden rally right now?
Well, some of the things that I have noticed liberals high-fiving themselves about voting for Joe Biden is that he passed the infrastructure bill. That's really their big victory lap is like, look, we passed the infrastructure bill. So when people say that, I just want to say, oh, what have you seen personally that came out of the infrastructure bill and how has that made your life better? I'm so, so curious.
You know what? To her credit, what's her name on ABC News asked Pete Buttigieg that very question on Sunday and said, so this massive infrastructure bill, we're supposed to see electric car charging stations all over the United States. There's seven built right now.
Yeah.
Trillions allocated for this massive electrification of the United States. And she just laughed right in his face. He's like, they're supposed to be built out by 2030.
Right.
The whole United States covered in electric charging stations. And there's seven that are built. Go ahead, David.
Well, you add on to that, like the big idea that they're pushing is like how great the economy is, but that's just falling absolutely flat because nobody sees it except Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's like, I know, with prices being what they are, everybody's dollar is going down. They can buy less with it. Everything is much more expensive. And they're like, the economy is great. It's like, right. if the economy is great, it will feel great. And it doesn't feel great. So don't tell me how I feel.
Right. It's a total disconnect. That's a great point. Because they'll point to this. They'll point to, well, manufacturing, real wages, et cetera, in the economy. Wall Street's fine. But of course, people forget when Wall Street's stock and share prices rise when they fire people. They're rewarded by Wall Street when they lay off tens of thousands of people. Their share price goes up. So that's a total disconnect to Philip's point. People feel it and they see it every night when they're buying groceries. They're paying for gas. They're paying for electric.
Right. And some of the other arguments, I'd love to hear like what people in your workplace say when they're making a pitch for Biden, because I'm looking. What is it that justifies a vote for Biden right now? Again, I hear the infrastructure bill and I hear just can't let Trump win. That's literally it, can't let Trump win. And so then when you ask which bit is upsetting you the most, you know, about Trump, it's just a visceral hatred. That's really all they've got.
So let's get back to this Politico piece that's causing such a fervor right now. So why he's long lagged Biden in cash on hand, Trump's fundraising outpaced the president's by $25 million last month, did Trump, including a record-setting $50 million haul from an event in Palm Beach, Florida. One advisor to major Democratic donors provided a running list that has been shared with funders of nearly two dozen reasons why Biden could lose, ranging from immigration, high inflation to the president's age, the unpopularity of Kamala Harris. This is literally a list that they share among donors in Democratic circles. Kamala Harris is on the list of reasons why you wouldn't vote for Biden. She's so bad. Immigration, high inflation, the presence of third-party candidates like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Donors ask me on an hourly basis about what I think, the advisor said, calling it so much easier to show them. So while they read it, I can pour a drink, meaning he shares this list with people. The advisor added, the list of why we could win is so small, I don't even need to keep the list on my phone, he says. One day after the news broke that Biden had trailed Trump in fundraising last month, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey raised the pressure on donors as she introduced the president to a crowd of 300 people. Yeah, I mean, to those of you that open your wallet, she said, thank you. We'd like you to open them up a little bit more and find more patriots out there, more patriots who believe in this country, who recognize and understand the challenge presented at this time. Laughter rippled through the room, they said. But Healy's voice turned serious. With unusual urgency for Healy, the governor implored the room of high-dollar donors and local Democratic leaders to think long and hard about the stakes of the election. So, I love this part. A Biden campaign advisor granted anonymity to speak freely stressed the president's team never made any indication that Trump's hush money trial would help or hurt him. Instead, the advisor contended that Trump will be forced to defend cutting back abortion rights, attacking democracy, advancing corporate interests as president. And Biden supporters who remain optimistic say they'd rather be him than Trump before rallying around abortion and issues of reproductive rights, Democrats say. We have to run a campaign where honesty, we're to drive home the message that Donald Trump takes us back to the 19th century. Biden takes us into the 21st century. So they are freaking out. They are freaking out right now because a majority of Democrats approve of replacing Biden with a new candidate. You are the sitting president of the United States. They hate Kamala Harris because she's a fool, and they absolutely dislike the president of the United States. So who can you put in its place? Right now, they're saying, Democrats are saying, that whether or not several different candidates could possibly replace him. Of the respondents, 17% said that Vice President Kamala Harris would be a better candidate than Biden, 21%, and 11% said the same about the former First Lady Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. They're saying Gavin Newsom, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. None of them won out with 31%. Oh, none of them. Like, none of the above, it won with 31%. So most people think none of these people are any good, and 31% of them would be better. None of them would be better.
I just personally don't see the establishment wanting him to replace, because they're able to do whatever the hell they want right now. It's like, you want the shadow government to have more power? President Biden is perfect, because he has no idea what's going on. He can't stand up to anything, so they can do whatever they want. They're passing bills in the dark of night. They're letting people come over the border. He has no idea. He doesn't even know. He thinks the border's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's right.
He's the perfect president for the establishment.
Yeah, because he's definitely not running the country. So absolutely the deep state is running the country. But I don't know how in the world he manages to get to November. I really don't. And President Trump has said that if he wants to debate him, he wants him to do a drug test ahead of time. You know?
What do you mean, like for speed or something?
Yeah, I mean, he said clearly he was hopped up on something when he gave the State of the Union. And he said, we don't want
the
him.
The word is Adderall. That's the rumor. It's Adderall that he's.
And then it wears off after. Yeah. A while.
Yeah, that gets thrown around for both of them, the Adderall thing.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's been going around since Obama. Like, yeah. New Vigil and Adderall.
Let us know what you think about this. Who do you think Democrats are going to try to place before the DNC? So the real question is, now we got word this afternoon, actually, about the plans for the DMC, that they're going to try to do a remote vote so that he won't even have to go to the Democratic National Convention, that they'll remotely do it ahead of time and allow him to become the nominee for the Democratic Party. They'll do it remotely, and they'll likely cancel the Democratic Convention in Chicago, where it would be an absolute disaster. And they're trying to blame this on Hamas, by the way. They're like, we're going to have to cancel the DNC because of pro-Palestinian or pro-Hamas supporters who are going to destroy Chicago with all these protests. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. They don't want...
Who created Hamas?
Right. Well, first of all, we created them. Israel created them. We fund them. So that's garbage. But what's more hilarious, of course, is what's going on, the race war right now that's happening inside of Chicago, which is the illegal immigration. All of the illegal immigrants that are in Chicago right now fighting tooth and nail against the native population of Chicago. That's what they don't want a light shined on right now, is that absolute, the war that is coming to Chicago. It's not Hamas. It's not Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protests. Don't fall for it when you're watching MSNBC and they start telling you, well, they had to cancel the DNC because these pro-Palestinian protesters. Don't fall for it. You're smarter than that. That's the rhetoric they're about to use when they cancel the DNC and they phone in President Biden as a remote candidate who will become the new DNC choice for the Democratic nominee.
Well, never let a good crisis go to waste, you know? You can take it as an advantage.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that's Rahm Emanuel of Chicago.
Oh, right.
That was his famous saying in Chicago. So never let a good crisis go to waste, even in Chicago, home of Rahm Emanuel. I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.